Welcome to Carrituals. This is Wendy.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, working in a remote team, dealing with time zones.
The questions this cast answers are, when is golden hour? How can I make working across time zones easier? And why don't technical solutions work for time zone management?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we get started, wanted to let y'all know that we will soon be in Silicon Valley, March 25th and 26th, with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator Conference. If you want to learn more, go online today, manager-tools.com/register. Now, back to the show.
I grew up in the UK. So at school, at home, at college, there was nothing. I didn't know anything about time zones. The only time time zones affected me was when we went on vacation, and that was only for the 5 minutes it took to move 1 hour later because we only ever went to France. But in the workplace, especially when I started working for Manager Tools, all of a sudden I had to understand time zones. And how much you are affected by time zones can vary a lot by the role you're doing and your company. For some of you, you're in a co-located team. All of your team work right next to you. You see them every day, and there's no time zones. That doesn't matter to you at all. If you have offices in different time zones across the US, perhaps that affects you somewhat a little. And if your peers are spread all over the globe, time zones can have a major impact.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with a 1 hour difference or a 12 hour difference, time zones add an extra difficulty to managing your work and working with others. And so in this guidance, we'll give you some simple things to think about to make you more effective if this is the first time that you're working across time zones.
So the outline for today's cast, we're going to start by talking about how we make clear which time zone you're talking about. Consider your colleagues' time zones, schedule meetings during the golden hour, adjust your schedule, and plan ahead to prevent delays.
So this is the most simple tip.
Yeah, I know, but it's so important, Wendy.
So important. It's the one, if you do this, it makes everything so much easier. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that people don't do because they make assumptions, which is make clear which time zone you're talking about. So example, if you're setting a meeting time, or you're saying, I can do these times, say, I can do 9 a.m. or noon on Monday the 27th, 1 p.m. on the 28th, and any time on the 29th, all times Pacific.
Exactly. Now, folks, you could use my time, right? I can do 2 p.m. my time, potentially, but only if you're absolutely confident that the person you're communicating with knows which time zone you're in and what time it is there. Saying my time, folks, it just, frankly, it's less straightforward than you think it is. So for example, if a meeting's this afternoon, someone might say that it'll be at 3 p.m. my time. Now, if that person is in Hawaii, for example, you might know that means Hawaii Standard Time. But do you know how many hours different that is from your own time? Do you know how many hours that is from now? For events that are going to happen shortly, it's just better to say 3 p.m. Hawaii time. That's 3 hours from now. So that other people have got that register that, okay, it might not be 3 p.m. my time also, but I know what 3 hours from now means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the shorter the time period, you know, if we're talking about an hour from now or a couple of hours from now, we're talking about today or tomorrow, the more you need to do that, the further ahead it is, the easier it is for people to have time to work it out. But even better than doing that is to use their time zone. So if you're asking for time from someone in a different time zone, talk about the time in their time zone. So if you're in Pacific, and you want to meet with your colleague at 8 a.m., ask them if they can meet at 11 Eastern rather than making them do the math. And if there's three people, mention all of the time zones. Eventually, there's so many people and so many time zones, you can't mention all of them. But, you know, if there's someone in Eastern and someone in Central and you in Pacific, then you have space and energy to say 3 p.m., 4 p.m., and No, 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
It always confuses me that there's four time zones in the U.S., but there's only 3 hours if you count, like, the times.
The times from Pacific to Eastern.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you're not counting Hawaii, though.
No,
so
exactly.
You've just completely alienated that whole part of the world. Plus, though, in Alaska, they have their own time zone. Mm-hmm. Exactly. See, the Alaskans, the Hawaiians, they're up in arms right now.
Yes.
Wendy's not even thinking of you as American. Oh my gosh. Now, folks, time's confusing enough, frankly. However, time is also more confusing because it changes. So you have to be extra careful around spring and fall weeks when the clocks change. It's easy to make mistakes around the time change season for three major reasons. The first, time zone changes vary by country and region. Not all time zones or all countries change their clocks on the same weekend. So, for example, there's a period each season when the UK and Texas are only 5 hours apart instead of the usual six because their time change weekends are different weekends.
And it catches me and my parents out every year because I can do 6 hours in my head because I've lived here long enough that, you know, I need to know what time it is and whether or not it's reasonable to call my parents. But every year we get caught out. Like,
you and your family are the perfect storm.
Yeah. Yeah. So plan carefully for meetings around time changes because if you're booking, not that I've done this, not that I've done any of these things, you know, obviously. If you're scheduling meetings a couple of weeks ahead, it's really easy to forget that you're one side of the time change and the meeting is the other side of that time change. So double check how the change will affect the meeting time. I don't know when you're listening to this, but in 2025, there's a website called timeanddate.com. You can tell it, I want a meeting at this time, and it will tell you what the time is in the other place. And it will take account of those time zone changes, those fall back and forward for you. So that's sometimes helpful.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then there's also that other major pitfall. Daylight savings time doesn't exist everywhere. There are a few locations in North America, one being Arizona, one being Saskatchewan, Canada, where I grew up, that do not observe daylight savings time. Now, in Arizona, that's except the Navajo Nation. Your time will shift relative to others, that is. So, for example, people in the Pacific time zone may be accustomed to their colleagues or peers in Arizona being an hour ahead. But it suddenly becomes confusing when people in the Pacific time zone and their colleagues in Arizona are on the same time after the clocks change. So, again, that's why this time of year, this time zone changing time of year is a time specifically we need to be extra cautious when scheduling meetings because there could be also the potential confusion of, hey, we've got a bunch of people in Arizona and that is a non-predictable change when it comes to time zone changing time.
Yeah, it's very confusing. The other potential pitfall, and we'll now include the rest of the world, it's the names of time zones.
Oh, so I learned this one just a couple of years ago. I didn't even know this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So be careful with saying things like Eastern time if you're working across the world, because you may think it means the time in New York, but Australians think it means the time in Melbourne. Europeans think it's the time in Sofia, which is in Bulgaria. And in Greenland, they think it's the time in Nuuk. There are multiple Eastern time zones. They have different names, Australian Eastern Standard Time, for example, but nobody ever says that. Everybody always says Eastern Time, meaning Eastern Time in the country they're in or the time they're most used to talking about.
Yes.
And the moment you start working across the world, you suddenly discover other people have Eastern Time as a name for an entirely different time.
Yeah, that one's a super confusing one if you're working across the world. UTC is the only global time zone equivalent that allows for you to truly know times, and no one talks UTC.
No, only, I think the military do. No, they use zero time, right? Which is something different.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but I've got a little announcement for those of you that are on the job hunt this spring. We have got, as part of our Career Tools license, a series of digital tools and products all designed to help you find, land, and ace your next new position. Starting with our resume workbook, and for those of you that are new to your career, First Job Fundamentals, then, of course, when it comes to the interview, we've got the interview series. And then ultimately, you've got a free DISC profile to help you learn your communication style and the effective relationship series to help you build stronger relationships at work. All of these and many, many more are available to you as part of the Career Tools license. If you'd like to learn more, check it out online today at manager-tools.com. Again, that's the Career Tools license, helping you land and keep your next job. Now, next thing, consider your colleagues' time zones. Being considerate of other people's time zones and working within their time zone where you can will preserve good relationships. Sometimes it's necessary to make a call at 6 a.m. to someone who might not normally be at their desk for a couple of hours due to location, but most of the time and whenever we can, we want to save those communications for times that are more appropriate for their time zone. Instead of doing it at 6 a.m., if you can do it at 8 and they'll be at their desk, just do that instead and preserve the relationship instead of making them sit at their desk at 6.
Is it really that urgent? Most of the time, urgency is I'm doing this now and I want to communicate about this now. It's not actually urgent.
Well, and what I would say, Wendy, is there are enough times when it actually is urgent that if it's not truly urgent, then don't insist on some false sense of urgency for an unurgent task, because there will be times when you do need to do a 6 a.m. meeting. So this is insurance for that time. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And when you are booking meetings or making phone calls, think about when meal times or school runs are and whether or not those are relevant. So for example, a colleague might agree to a 4 p.m. mountain meeting, even though it's 6 p.m. for them at home, but you might get more out of that meeting if you choose a time that's less fraught for parents who are trying to feed their children. Even if it's someone who's working from home and they have a spouse who's dealing with the children, there's still more noise, more distraction, more things going on than, you know, if you could move that meeting and make it a better time, then do that. There's a scientific study about judges and the punishments they give based on how hungry they are. So right after breakfast, they're quite nice. And right after lunch, they're quite nice. But the further they get from a meal, the worse the punishments get. Not that that's a good thing, but it is a warning about thinking about people's meal times and when you book meetings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And folks, we have guidance called How to Use Other People's Calendars, in which we exhort that you look at other people's calendars before you make unexpected calls or send instant messages or send a Slack and expect an instant response to these things. This moment is the right time for you, but who knows what the other person is doing? So looking at their calendar will tell you whether or not they're available and will hopefully remind you to think about what time it is for them as well.
And since you have to look at their calendar and think about the time in their time zone before you suggest talking or meeting, you can easily follow our guidance and make your suggestion in their time zone. And not making your colleagues do math is a really good way to improve your relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, I know that Wendy did mention one little tiny technical solution, timeanddate.com, you said, Wendy. And y'all might be wondering why we don't mention more heavily in this cast technical solutions for these problems. We know that there's the ability to have multiple time zones on your calendar, for meetings to magically put themselves on the calendar at the right time for every participant. Our phone makes instant changes when we cross borders, and there are little tiny apps that can run on the top of your screen to show multiple time zones, so you could have potentially all of your colleagues listed there and know their time zone at a glance. And it's great. And these technical innovations are incredibly helpful. However, we have to remember to consciously think about the time for us and another person. You can create a meeting right now at 2 p.m. your time and invite people from across the globe. Your system will certainly convert the time into the right time for all of those people. But is it going to say, pick a better time because that's 3 a.m. for Joan and Steve is going to be on the school run? No, your app's not going to say that. The tool's not going to tell you that. There's no technology that is going to solve all of our time zone problems. The technology is wonderful. It's amazing. It's great. But it is completely absent of the human element.
Yeah, timeanddate.com will tell you what time the best time is, but it won't tell you that's still a meal time.
Exactly. That's exactly. It won't know. Like, for example, over here, we have a colleague, Maggie. She works often in the evening. Now, I think I would guess many people listening to this podcast, now that many of us are work from home, you have colleagues who sometimes, for whatever reason, prefer to work at odd hours, like in the evening for them, even though it's nighttime, but that's their preferred schedule. And there's no app in the world that's going to remind you, hey, Maggie likes to work in the evening.
Yeah, Maggie doesn't want to talk to you between 4 and 7, but she'll happily talk to you at 8.
Yeah, the apps don't know that. So that's the problem with technology.
I used to have a job where I sent vehicles out to people who are broken down on the road where their vehicles had broken down. And we used to do that manually. And then they brought in computers. But what the computer didn't know was that a certain person, Carlos, had a baby and he was up an hour before his shift feeding the baby. And so if you wanted him to go somewhere just before his shift on an overtime run, you could call him and he would do it and he would make sure to get there in time. The computer doesn't know that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Don't forget about the human element when it comes to time zone stuff. There are enough opportunities for us and our colleagues to have conflicts, if you will. Time zones just add to that conflict.
Yeah, why bother? So schedule meetings during the golden hours. So the golden hours are the hours that overlap for your team, making it possible to schedule meetings that work for everybody. So for example, if you have a team that's split between London and Washington, D.C., and you assume that everybody works 9 till 5, the entire UK afternoon overlaps with the D.C. meeting. So meetings can start as early as 2 p.m. UK time, which would be 9 a.m. D.C. time. And the latest you can start a one-hour meeting is 11 a.m. D.C. time and 4 p.m. UK time, because that ensures that the meeting ends before the UK time. The team finishes their workday. And another thing about meals, UK people rarely go to lunch before 12 and they often go at 1. In the US, it's much earlier.
Exactly. Another potential time zone confusion. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, we use the Eastern Seaboard and UK example. Also, keep in mind, there isn't a golden hour for people in the Pacific time zone. A team split between London, UK, and San Francisco has no natural overlap. The London team's workday, 9 to 5, UK time, corresponds to 1 a.m. to 9 a.m., California time. The London team would have to either work late into the evening, so after 5 p.m. UK time, which would finally start to overlap with some of California's morning hours after 9 a.m., or the California team could start their day earlier, like around 6 a.m., which would allow them to overlap at starting at 2 p.m. UK time. So you might need to think about creating some golden hour if you don't have any, based upon the location of the people with whom you work, your team members, important relationships that you're trying to build or maintain with others in the organization who don't necessarily work on your time zone, it'll be harder.
And again, it might work out because there might be someone in the UK who's not a morning person and would rather work at 6 p.m. than a.m. So it's work outable. You just have to be aware there isn't that natural overlap. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. And all these examples, Wendy, like the fact that Maggie likes to work in the evening and the fact that Carlos was up for an hour early before work. Those are the things that only come with human communication and human connection. And you got to learn your colleagues. You've got to talk to them. You've got to get to understand their lives to know these intricacies of humans.
When you send 5 meeting invites and they all get rejected, you don't know if that's the time doesn't suit them. They just don't like you. They don't want this meeting. You know, talking to them. It's amazing how much you
can how much you can learn about a person if you ask them how they are.
Adapt your schedule. So be willing to adjust your schedule to make a meeting or conversation work for someone else. Because most of the time, the timing of meetings or activities involving others is based on our own preferences. Mm-hmm. If somebody asks me for a meeting, I would rather it was in the afternoon because my brain works better on writing tasks in the morning. That doesn't mean that if somebody said, I can't do the afternoon, I'd much rather do it at 11. Will that work for you? I can make that work and I'm happy to. And that doesn't really have an impact on my own schedule. But often or sometimes it will make a big difference for somebody else. And I want that relationship. So I will do the moving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, folks, if someone suggests a time that's not your time preference, but is manageable, just try and make it work. For example, while most of us would not choose the last 30 minutes of the day for a meeting, if you have no plans that would be disrupted by running a few minutes over, agreeing to that meeting at a less than ideal time for you shows that you're willing to compromise.
And that's something your colleagues will appreciate. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And that the workplace runs on the favor economy. And small courtesies like this accumulate over time. And that's the thing that will build the kind of strong relationships that support your career in the long run. So my personal rule is, if I can make it work, I'll make it work.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, we have a lot of, as a presenter over here at Manager Tools, there are a lot of times when I have to, in the making of meetings, the booking of meetings, I have to actually say to people, I am so sorry. I have very few hours. Can you do this or this or this? Because those are the only 3 times I have. But when I'm at home, I'm much more willing to move things around and work in the evening. And we started recording our podcast this morning at 7:30 a.m. because I'm like, meh, it works. It's that. It's, I can't always be flexible.
But the fact that when you are presenting and you know those times aren't ideal, you give 3 choices, gives the other person some agency about, okay, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. That one I can make work. So that's another way to make it easier on your colleagues. If you know those times aren't good for them, give them some choices so that they can pick the least bad one.
Right, the least bad one. Exactly, exactly. And then always, folks, another way of helping with these intricacies of our calendar is planning ahead to prevent delays. Planning your work is important, but when your work will be handed off to somebody else, it's equally important to plan not just when you will complete it, but when it will reach them. No one likes work that has to be completed by 9 a.m., handed to them at 5 p.m. the day before, irrespective of their time zone. But with time zones involved, you also have to consider what time their deadline is compared to when you will be sending the work. That's the thing. Deadlines are much more intricate when it comes to time zones because you might have your part of the puzzle done by the time you were supposed to have it done, but because of their time zone, they might not have enough time to do their piece before their deadline as well. So it's that. It's also planning that whole chain reaction.
Yeah. And again, consideration of your colleagues goes a long way. And this is not just a daily work hours consideration. If your colleagues' different time zone is because they're in a different country, they may also observe holidays that don't match with yours.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So taking into account that your colleague will not be working on Monday, even though you are, means you might have to work a few days ahead than you didn't expect to. And we have guidance called The Basics of Asynchronous Communication, which includes more recommendations for dealing with work that's transferred between teams who don't work at the same time. And you just have to put more effort into it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. So folks, essentially, no, Manager Tools, we're pretty, We're pretty familiar with the working across time zones thing, not just because we all live in different time zones at Manager Tools, but because we travel to different time zones extensively. And take it from us, working across time zones, when you start for the first time, can feel like a mental workout. I mean, I'm now, what, 10, almost 12 years in? I still feel like it's some gymnastics some days to try and think myself through some of these problems. However, with this guidance, you can avoid the most common pitfalls and use time zone differences to strengthen relationships. You have the opportunity to be that person who works in a different time zone or a different country, what have you. And you're the one that works for that part of the organization that's always considerate about time. Because I assure you, there's many of your colleagues will not be considerate. And those individuals whose time's constantly getting stepped on will definitely see you as a standout, an outlier from everyone else that doesn't even think about it. You will make yourself known as being more considerate than others. And that's a great spot to be in. Instead of being a time zone challenge, time zones can become a tool for your personal success.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week as we tackle a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.